when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. Let's read what the Bible says here, Paul to the Thessalonians in chapter 1. Let's go to verse 2. Let's start there. He's greeting the brothers in verse 1. He always greets them with grace be unto you from the peace and from the God of our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 1 of Thessalonians. Verse 2 is where we'll pick it up. We give thanks to God always for you all. Paul says, I thank God for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Notice that, because we're going to talk about that, Lord willing, for just a moment. Your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He says, I know that you are the elect people of God. And I want to speak this word to you, is what Paul is saying to the Thessalonians. He says, knowing, brethren, I know that you are God's chosen elect people. For our gospel, Paul says, when we came to you, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You've seen how we carried ourselves, how we walked, how we talked, how we lived the life of Christ before you. You've seen us firsthand. Amen. How many of us know it's one thing to hear about somebody, it's another thing to really get to know them and meet them. You get a whole different vibe. You cannot get everything you need to get by just hearing about it. But when you are there firsthand and you meet somebody, it's a whole different thing. Amen. And Paul is saying, you have met me. You've seen my conduct. You've seen what manner of men we were among you. Verse 5, for your sake. Verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in what? Much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to the word of God? If you'll go with me quickly, I just want to spend a few moments out of verse 3. Paul says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. I want to minister and do some preaching for a little while on a labor of love. A labor of love. Understand something. What is the motive that drives you in your life? He doesn't judge us just according to our works, but what is the motive? What is the reason why you do what you do? Understand, God looks not on the outward of a man, but the Bible says in the book of Samuel, when God chose David, don't look at his brethren, Samuel. Don't look at the outward exterior of David's brothers. He says, Jesse's sons, they look qualified to be a king. Amen. They look physically like they really are great men that could be a great king. But he says, don't look, Samuel, God told him, on the outward. Amen. How many of us know looks can be deceiving? You look at people and they can smile all day long in your face, but I'll just leave that right there. Amen. But I can tell you this. God says, I look down into the heart. How many of us know God's looking upon our hearts today? And when he expresses this thought, I look upon the heart, he says, I am looking at the motive. I'm looking at the intent. I know the very thoughts of the heart. How many of us know out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will express how you really feel? That's why sometimes we've got to be careful what we say when we're angry. What we say, amen, when we're hot-tempered. We need to not always speak how we feel. Can you say amen? Because you can drag down the atmosphere of a house. When I hear folks always complaining, always murmuring, Paul says, you knew what manner of men we were. We were in much affliction to bring this gospel to you into Thessalonica and start a church. But understand, Paul said, we didn't come in complaining how hard it was. We didn't talk about the persecution. We didn't always complain and talk about how we didn't have no money. We were struggling physically. Can I tell you, it was hard to preach the gospel in Paul's day. This was a movement on more than just a movement. This was Paul literally giving his life, amen, for the gospel. And he suffered more than any man to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understand, when he begins to talk up to the Thessalonians, he says, this goes beyond me bringing this gospel to you. Goes beyond, amen, the way that I feel. I don't need to be pampered. I don't need to be patted on the back. I don't need to be catered to. I don't need the red carpet to be rolled out for me to bring this gospel to you. I have been given a mandate by God. When he saved me on the road to Damascus, I was a wretch. I was a wicked man, Paul the apostle said in his testimony in Acts chapter 10 and also in 9. He begins to explain how that he would persecute the church. He would cause many of the Christians to blaspheme. Many of us know him as Saul of Tarsus. He was a great educated man, and I love preaching on the Apostle Paul because God lets us see the life of this man in a great depth of understanding, not just the great man that he was, but what God saved him from. Amen. How he brought him out of a self-righteous Jewish religion that was full of laws. And when Christ came, he didn't necessarily do away with the law, but he fulfilled the law. But what is the motive of why you do what you do? Amen. Is what God is looking for. What is the purpose? What is driving you? Paul says, I brought this gospel to you in much affliction and much suffering. And that could be said for most of the churches that he established in Asia Minor and throughout the world. And he says, but what has driven me is that I realized that I was a chosen vessel unto God. He didn't have to choose me because I was a murderer. I condone the stoning of the first martyr called Stephen. I seen and I witnessed as they threw rocks upon Stephen, and as he looked up to heaven and he seen Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father, and he said with his mouth, Stephen, oh God, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's the kind of Christianity that really shows truly love. where you can pray for those that have despitefully used you, those that have rejected you, those that have betrayed you, those that have turned their backs on you, and you can still have enough love in your heart to realize, oh, I need to pray for my enemy. I need to do good to those that have abused me, slandered me, and turned their backs on me. This is the type of Christianity that Paul is displaying to the Thessalonians. He says, I've come to you in much affliction, but all the reason why I do it, because I realize that God chose me. I did not choose God. Amen. Can I tell you why we are here today? Not because you wanted to be here today. You aren't saved because, amen, you saved yourself. You were saved because God saved you. God delivered you. God brought some of us out of some backgrounds of drugs. He brought some of us out of some backgrounds of heartache and pain and despair. And can I tell you, when everybody else forsakes you, when your friends forsake you, when your loved ones forsake you, when your family members reject you, when your husband leaves you, when your wife leaves you, when your best friends turn their back on you, I'm telling you right now, there is one that will never leave you. There is one that never forsakes you. There is one that sticks closer than any brother. And Paul the apostle says, this is the one that I serve. His name is Jesus. And when I realized and got the revelation of his love, that he saved me by his grace, he didn't have to save me, but Jesus Christ saved me by his grace. Preaching on a labor of love, Paul said, the reason I come to you is because he loved me. Hallelujah. Some of us are unlovable at times. Some of us are hard to get along with at times. Some of us can barely stand ourselves. But I'm telling you, thank God that God is long-suffering. He is patient. He understands what you've been through, what you're going through, but not just what you've been through, because see, my future is not predicated on where I've been, but it's who and where I'm going. Amen. I'm going to tell you what the devil wants to do to some of us. He wants to keep us locked up in a mindset of staying back there at all the heartache and all the pain and all the suffering that we've had to go through to get to this point. But understand, Christ comes into our life to say, I'm not going to leave you where you've been, but I'm going to bring you to a greater future. What is the there for you? What is that place that seems to hold you in a memory of the past? I feel like I'm preaching this morning to somebody that needs to understand that the devil wants to hold you into a past state of mind, always tempting you, saying, don't you remember? Constantly reminding you of your upbringing, of your childhood, of who said this to you, how your father treated you. I feel the Holy Ghost right here speaking to somebody in this church this morning. And me as a pastor, I want to encourage you to let you know that, amen, God can deliver you from there. Amen. And he can bring you to a place where no more you have to be tormented in the past of what you came out of. How many of us know Paul the apostle fought this in his own mind? But he said this one thing. What is the one thing, Paul the apostle, in all your revelation and all your knowledge and all your understanding of the scriptures and the revelation of the spirit that Christ gave you in those 3 years in Asia, what was it, the one thing that you do more than anything else? He says this one thing. Somebody say one thing. You must do forgetting those things which are behind you. Somebody say, I'm not looking back. I'm not going back, but I am pressing forward to the things that God has for me in my future. We're never going to see what God has for our future if we don't make up our minds to leave some things behind. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it was devastating. Yes, it literally, totally transformed your whole path in life. But God is still God. God wants you to know. Are you listening to me? I said, God wants you to know that, amen. I don't know how Romans 8 and 28 works, but all things work together for the good, for those that love God and those that are the called according to his purpose. There's a purpose for the pain. There's a purpose for the heartache. There's a purpose, because can I tell you, brothers and sisters, pain reveals that there's a problem. Pain oftentimes reveals that there is something going on underneath the surface that needs to be fixed, that needs to be repaired. I want to talk to somebody that, amen, looks good on the outside but hurting on the inside. We can put on a smile. We can put on, amen, a nice smelling perfume and cologne and a nice tie and make the exterior look good. But how many people, I wonder, in the Christian world that are born again believers are smiling on the outside but are crying on the inside? I'm talking about suffering saints, people that are struggling to, amen, get through one day at a time, because their mind locks them up in a prison and brings them back to the past, back to what they were held bound by. But I want to tell you today that Christ Jesus came to set the captive free. He came to unlock the prison door. He came to set at liberty those that are brokenhearted. I want to tell you today, amen, somebody may have broke your heart, but there is a man that comes and he can repair your broken heart. He can make you new again. He can make you forget even the very thoughts of the things that have held you bound. Are you listening? Understand, Paul knew from Ananias, the servant of the Lord that was sent by Christ, that he would suffer many things. Paul the apostle suffered probably more than any other apostle. And there was a great cost to understand this Christ, to really know him in the fellowship. We want to know him in the fellowship of the resurrection and the power. And we love talking about the power. And we love talking about all of the great moves of the feelings and the emotions that we feel when we come into the presence of God. But understand, if you're really going to know Christ, you can't just know him in the good times, because he is a God that wants you to know him in his fullness. Listen to me, a lot of people in today's Christianity want to talk about God. He's some type of sugar daddy. They lay in roses when they lay down to sleep at night, and they want to paint a portrait of a God that only does good. Yes, he's good, but he is also a God that takes bad situations, horrible circumstances, things that we look at that look almost impossible, amen, to work out. I don't know how God brings good out of bad, but we serve a God that has the power to take every circumstance, every situation, every letdown in your life, everything that has brought you heartache and pain, God uses it for something good. You might not understand what the good is right now, but give it a little time. Amen. Amen. There's some good's going to come out of this. I told you, let Joseph testify to you how good it was to be thrown into a pit and betrayed by his brothers. And then he was sold into slavery to the Ishmaelites. Then he was thrown into Potiphar's house and was doing pretty good for a little while. But what happened? His wife lied upon Joseph. Amen. Potiphar's wife. And what was happening? He was thrown into that prison. You know he was going through some heartache. You know Joseph was constantly brought back to the memories of, why would they throw me into a pit with no water and pull me up out? I'm telling you, amen, those that are the closest to you are those that can be known to hurt you the deepest. I'm going to preach right here for a moment. I'm going to tell you, oftentimes, those that hurt us the worst. They aren't a neighbor up the road. They aren't somebody that we don't know too well, but the worst foes and some of the worst enemies that we are going to be stabbed in the back by, and we are going to be slandered by, and that we are going to feel the knife of betrayal stabbed in our back, are those of our own household. But even in the midst of that, we have to keep ourselves in the love of God. You don't really have your Christianity tested until you're faced to love somebody that has hurt you. That you're forced to forgive somebody that turned their back on you and have done you no good, but nothing but evil. You talk to Joseph after the latter part of that 12 to 13 year period of time of walking in a low place. But in one day, God called him up out of a prison house into a palace to reveal a dream to a Pharaoh. And you know the story. He was put in second in command over the land of Egypt. Why? Because God had a plan for Joseph. And amen, if you would have let Joseph try to tell you about that plan and how it was going to unfold after 5 years, amen, I'm telling you, he couldn't tell you the outcome. But I can tell you this, the word of the Lord through the prophet is, I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord. They are not evil thoughts, but they are good thoughts. I have a desire, saith the Lord, to bring some good things out of bad circumstances. I know that in the natural, we look at things and we're trying to figure out the purpose, the plan, and the will of God. But God says, stand still and see that I am orchestrating the good with the bad, and I'm going to bring some good things out of what you're going through.
As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.
When man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary. He'll come through for you, no matter what you're going through. He's always right. has let you down, and your heart is broke in two. Here is what you must do to go on. You must surrender.